This is Olivia Buckley of Cherry Brook invites you to Get This with Bert Newton and Tony Martin.
Yes, I think I'll be riding in the sidecar today. Bert Newton is, well, he's almost into the building. He's mic'd up down in the foyer at the moment, punching out photographers, a scantily clad Veronica on each arm, refusing to get into the lift till his outrageous demands have been met, including a huge fruit platter, 15 bottles of vodka, and a pig on a spit. Sorry, Bert, am I giving you too much sizzle?
You're lying about the pig on the spit. I don't eat pork. It's great to see you, Tony.
We're not allowed to talk in this bit anymore. I'm sorry.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Well, I've got to get away pretty quickly. I'm due down at Patterson Lakes Primary at 10:30.
I'm told you love Nickelback.
I certainly do.
And we're not going to disappoint you.
Fair enough.
But first, Dire Straits.
Oh, okay. Goodbye.
That's Dire Straits with Money for Nothing. It's Get This on Triple M. Richard Marsland is pushing buttons today.
Good morning, Tony.
And we're all, well, down on our knees, worshipping at the altar of Bert Newton. Let's have a round.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Have you been on Triple M before, Bert?
I think I have, but not for a while. I still think that is a ridiculous moment to have a song. I think you should be straight into the chat.
Good on you, Bert, the clutter.
Yes.
Hey, look, this, you know, controversy, Channel 9 controversy on the front of the papers. I don't even know if we can talk about it in all states. There's various injunctions flying around.
Yeah, give me more information.
Oh, somebody said that somebody was going to be boned.
Yeah. That's how you usually get the job, isn't it? Yeah.
You would have been boned a few times, wouldn't you? Have you been sacked from every network? I have.
No, I was retrenched from Channel 9 about 25 years ago. It took them 25 years to realise their folly. Channel 7, I left my own volition there. First time around. Second time around, parking spot was gone.
Parking spot, it's always the key.
It's always the one. If there's no parking spot there and the smile is forced from the executive who you knocked into in the car park, you know that this Tuesday is not going to be a happy one.
When we did the pilots for the Late Show at 9, it wasn't going well and we just came in one day and I think Bruce Samazon had my parking spot. You just find a new name.
It's my favourite parking. My favourite parking spot story is in my first time at Channel 9, I guess it would be about 1961, 1962, I parked in somebody else's parking spot.
Right.
And I'd never used this spot before. I had no idea who it belonged to. And I got back that night and there was this note on the windscreen wiper saying, "I don't know who you are, but desist from parking here anymore. Do you realise just how you have spoiled my day? I have driven around the car park trying. This is my own personal car spot. And frankly, sir, you are a bastard." With love and blessings, Eric Pierce.
Oh, that'd be right. He was foul mouth.
Oh, yes.
He was trouble.
Once you took a car park spot from him, he was out of it.
And what's it like down there? I mean, people sharing parking spaces? Are people carpooling at Channel 9?
Well, actually, I've got one of my own, and that's not shared. And it was a nice change because at Channel 10, I use the bike rack. But this little parking spot is, and it's all mine, and it's right next door to people I've never heard of before.
I love how, there's obviously, you know, dramas going on down there. We don't want to get into the ugliness of that. But this is how they're promoting a show that's on tonight, Bert. Listen to this.
Ever wanted to see what John Wood gets up to in his spare time?
No, I think is the answer, really. I mean, he's a lovely bloke.
Yeah.
But no real desire.
This is the wine and food thing, isn't it, that John is
What's
is
that
doing.
Called?
Wine Me, Dine Me.
Oh, Wine Me, Dine Me.
Channel 9 Me.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, he's doing, I think it's only a series of three or four.
Right.
But it was interesting to see, Tom Croydon wandering around the Channel 9 estate. I've got to say, in fairness to the network, I mean, I know there's lots of stuff in the press and the whole deal, but in fairness, I mean, he's been in the chair only a matter of months, we're not talking years, and I just think I think the whole of free-to-air television is entering an era that is going to be the most difficult for it in the history of television because, you know, pay television is certainly kicking in. Everyone's after the entertainment dollar. And for the first 30 years or so, it was a license to print money.
That's
no one
right.
can deny that.
Where's that book about the history of TV? We're going to get to this later. But there's a fantastic quote from Rupert Murdoch. This is back in 1963, and he was doing a speech about what television in the future is going to be like. And he says, imagine a chain of satellite transmitters beaming down, happenings from all over the world into your television. They may even be recorded on automatic tape within the domestic set for playback if no one is viewing the set at that moment.
No.
1963, could people imagine the video recorder?
No. Matter of fact, I was the first one to actually go on tape.
Really?
Channel 9 in 1961-62.
Going through a speed camera?
No. That was many years later. That particular experience happened on a children's program. Not a children, a teenage program I did, which was called the Bert Newton Hi-Fi Club.
And oh, that was very edgy in its day.
Oh, I tell you what, I've got tape of it. It is shocking. I mean, hi, fellow hi-fis. Welcome to the... I mean, you would swear the Graham was the straight one. I it was shocking.
Well, that was all predicted by Rupert Murdoch. Listen to what else he had to say. There may also be a time in the future where a tribe of idiots will be locked in a house full of cameras and forced to fight amongst themselves for the amusement of all. And the one known as hot dogs will be accorded the status of a god.
Wow.
They forecast a current affair, eh?
Listen to this. There may also be a time way off in the future where Bert Newton will no longer be seen on television, although scientists say this is unlikely.
Yeah. Reference there to Mass at Home? Or
what was the... Could you be... You know, you could get into trouble a lot more easy.
Back then?
Back in the days.
Yes. Well, I started to tell you off air, then suddenly realised that... was too good not to do it on air, and folks listening can be the judge of this, that I remember that comedians on In Melbourne Tonight with Graham, myself and the whole gang were allowed a certain number of bloodies in sketches, right, because most of the sketches came from vaudeville, and the tag always included a bloody. So Joff Allen, who was, to my way of thinking, the nicest man I ever met in television, and a lovely comedian, he... You know, his influence on Graham and myself and everybody else, it's pretty hard to estimate. And he was allowed one bloody a week. And on one Friday night sketch, he did three. So he was hauled into the manager's office, Colin Bednall. And Colin Bednall said, you've said bloody three times. It's in my mind to sack you. And Joff said, no, it's okay. I'm going on holiday, so I thought I'd use them up.
Well, I mean, those were the... You say vaudeville, the routines would end in bloody. Mm. I'm sure even in those days, there would have been people in the front row going, oh, there's no need to say bloody.
Oh, yes.
What's wrong with Bloomin' or Blinkin'?
Yes. And, of course, they don't... If you use Bloomin' or Blinkin' or whatever, it doesn't work. It's got to be... There's a sort of... Well, not so much now, but back then, it was a shock tactic, you know, and it added to the tag.
It's getting harder to shock people. I think we have to go right back to the beginning and get back into Bloomin'.
Bloody Bloomin'.
Kevin Blinken Wilson.
Yeah.
All right, Bert, we've lowered you down to our level.
Yes.
Let's get this program started. It's In Excess with Afterglow on Get This here at Triple M, where our co-host is Bert Newton.
And it's nice to be here, too.
Good on you. Hey, Bert, what was that you were telling me about the ratings in television in the early days? It was just one bloke?
There was a bloke at Channel 7 who had the job, whether it was official or unofficial, I can't remember, but he was given the job of going around. Early producers in television believed that it was important to listen to viewers.
Yes.
And a lot of them came from radio, where they felt, from 3DB, which was the top station back then, had been for 40 years or something, listen to what the public are saying, you know, about the music you're playing and what you're saying on air, then in television, the programs that you're running. So his job, Brian, I think his name was, I hope he's not still living. I doubt very much when you hear the story, I think you'll agree, I don't think there's much chance he would be. But his job was to go out, I think 5 days a week, and just check out the various pubs and clubs and restaurants and cafes and railway stations, although he didn't spend much time there because they weren't licensed.
Right.
But he'd come back at 5 o'clock each afternoon, and I've never seen a happier man. I don't know what the reports were like, but he's a little bit down to Brighton, and I tell you what, they're loving your show, they're loving your show. And then off he'd wander. And I remember him saying to me one day, Bert, this is the best job I ever had. He said, no, I'm running late. I've got to be at Molina's pub at 11 o'clock. About 10
so
in the morning.
This is what they had in lieu of the McNair-Anderson system.
Yeah, in fairness. For the
one bloke.
One bloke. Well, Channel 7 did anyway, and I don't think they shared whatever he discovered. I don't think they shared with the other networks, or network as it was then. But that was his job, and he enjoyed it. But I think ratings, official ratings, came in about a year in. I remember when I was at Channel 7, and I wasn't happy. I wanted to get to Channel 9, and a great program manager at Channel 7. Colin Fraser wanted me to stay there, and he was the bloke who gave me my first break. And in many respects, he's underrated in what he did for Melbourne television. And he said, look, Bert, he said, your show is going beautifully. He said, have a look at those ratings. And there was one night I'd had a very special guest artist on who was big at the time, and I did get big ratings, and I slaughtered Graham's in Melbourne tonight.
Right.
But he showed me the wrong night.
Oh.
And Graham was getting 45%, and I was getting something like 7%. He said, I've shown you the wrong page. Over here.
And 47? But these are the days when you could get that kind of figure, though.
Oh, there was a show on 7 that Colin put to air, a thing called The Hit Parade. They used to get 65s and 70s.
The Hit Parade. Now, what would be the equivalent? Like, was there music that was, like, too edgy and dangerous to go to air in those days? Would people go, look, this latest Pat Boone, it's too fast?
Well,
people are breaking their legs.
I can remember three songs that were banned. One was Too Darn Hot, which was from Kiss Me, Kate.
Please, keep that language to yourself, Bert.
And a thing called John and Mary, in which Stan Freberg simply did John, Mary, John, Mary. Oh, John. And that was banned totally.
Fruity.
And the other one was Always True to You in My Fashion, once again from Kiss Me, Kate. Cole Porter didn't have a lot of luck with that particular show because it suggested that that someone in a married situation was being untrue.
Oh, whereas now we have I Like Your Pants Around Your Feet.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's right, which is the opening theme now, I think, to Big Brother, isn't it?
I think it might be.
Yeah.
And, you know, Pete Smith tells me that in the early days of rock videos, he hosted a show where they'd just hold up a photograph of the band
and
play the record.
Yeah.
And then someone might shake the photograph a little bit.
Yeah, just for tempo.
Just to keep people interested.
Well, this Hit Parade I'm telling you about, there was no live audio apart from the man who compared it in another studio, because all the artists mimed to Pat Boone and Perry Como Bing Crosby.
Right.
Yeah.
To other people's records.
Yeah. And there was one bloke at one stage of the game in audio at Channel 7. I think he might have been related to the bloke who used to do the surveys, because he fancied a sip too. And on two occasions that I can remember, he put the wrong side on. So there is an artist there waiting to do Are You Lonesome Tonight? And on comes I'm Always True to You in My Fashion, and he's like, he's heard listening to a song he's never heard before.
That's pretty much what happened to Ashley Simpson on Saturday Night Live.
Exactly, and then she's playing the band.
Nowadays people have credibility, but they mime to their own music.
Exactly. Demis Roussos does, which was discovered some years ago at the Festival Hall. He had 7,000 Greek people there on a Sunday night to enjoy his performance. And Demis was at the main mic, and he was singing away, and they were shouting and screaming, "We love you, Demis," or whatever it is in Greek, and then he moved to the piano to play the piano. Unfortunately, it started before he got there.
Oh, there.
And all of a sudden, you had 7,000 Greeks demanding their shekels back.
And did you come out as Demis and save the day?
I did indeed, yes. I just happened to have the caftan with me.
You know, that live TV, the thing I miss about, you know, there's very few shows on TV now where you can just have genuine mucking around.
Yeah.
You know, everything's locked down. Everything's so organised.
Yeah.
You watch Australian Idol and you go, where's the shambolic disasterness of, you know, potluck from Adelaide, where people are just let in off the street,
exactly.
No auditions, who knows what might happen.
Yeah. Well, I always say that, you know, I think it's perhaps too homogenised.
Yeah.
Because the one thing with a live Tonight Show particularly, or the sort of stuff that you guys have done over the years, even if a show is not as good as you expected, there's a thought in your own mind as a viewer, the next one might be better. I mean, the best in Melbourne Tonight with Graham, they tell me, in the early years, was the very first one.
Right.
The worst was the second show, because they'd thrown everything into that first show.
That's right.
It was open-ended, and the first show went from 9:30 until 25 past 11. The second show went from 9:30 to 5 to 10.
They're desperately trying to get that dog to take a dump again.
And the true story is, Eric Pierce used to be back in his Toorak home, and he'd do the late news, and when he saw the wheel come up, the barrel, he'd know it was time to get in the car and drive in and read the late news. And at 5 to 10, 10 to 10, he sees the wheel come. He dropped the sherry and jumped in the car, raced in, and just got there panting because it was such an early show.
Did the news in his smoking jacket?
Yes.
Oh, look, there was a lot more smoking on TV too. That's what I love.
Oh, yeah, you could see that, you know, the smoke wafting up from behind the desk.
And families being given cartons of cigarettes as prizes.
And when they take a shot of the audience, every woman is wearing a hat. And every man has a collar and tie on. I mean, now you're lucky enough to find them wearing slacks.
Oh, look, it's discouraged. No need for slacks. But I personally believe that any product, no matter how dodgy, can be successfully marketed if you do the voiceover.
Oh, that's a nice thing to say.
Do you want to help me prove that theory?
Yeah, sure.
We're going to put you to work.
Okay, not a worry.
That's going to be next.
Get this.
More sensible talk.
For Mrs. Olivia Buckley of Cherry Brook on Triple M.
Yes, it's Triple M. It's Get This. And we are going to prove in the next few minutes that anything can be made to sound good with the addition of Bert Newton. But in the meantime, here's a treat for all those fans of the team we've been following at the World Cup, Togo. This is for the Otto Fister fans.
I know you're the one. Body and beats, I stain my sheets, I don't even know why. My girlfriend, she's at the end, she is starting to cry. Let me go on, like I fist her in the sun. Let me go on, big old truth, I know you're the one. And that concludes our World Cup coverage for today. Here at Get This on Triple M, Bert Newton is co-hosting today. Bert, do you follow that World Cup? Do you understand it?
Well, I endeavour to. I suppose my interest has been heightened because of, you know, what's been happening in recent times. But I was one of those Australians who thought, you know, 2-2 was a very low-scoring game.
Yes.
Until you see the reaction of...
Well, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it, because, see, a lot of people, you know, just don't understand or like soccer. And here's a letter to the papers today from the Melbourne Herald Sun. This is from Joanne Kane of Coburg, and she goes, "No matter how skilled a soccer team may be, it is the team with the best actors and favourite of the referee that wins. What a boring game and what a bunch of pansies. The majority of shots for goal never look like going through, and after a tap on the shin, they all fall down. Imagine watching replays of an AFL player missing a shot for goal. A miss is not a highlight, and yet in soccer, it is replayed again and again."
Have a nice day, Joanne.
So clearly those missed goals, tedious television, what's that doing on there?
Were you watching?
I don't understand any of it, Bert.
No. What about Australian rules football?
None of it. It's like, to me, it's like dyslexia. If I watch a football game, I just think it's the same game being played again, but in different clothes. I mean, I love the enthusiasm of the supporters, and the players seem largely quite nice, But the game itself, baffling.
Cricket?
What's that one? Is that the one with nothing happens at all?
Exactly.
I like the World Poker Tour.
Yeah.
I don't mind that, because that is about acting.
Yeah, sure. Exactly.
That's where
exactly.
You see some great acting.
Oh, you've missed out on so much, haven't you?
I have.
Yeah.
But I've been, you know, I've been spending years... well, see, I listen to the commercials. I'll sit down and listen to a commercial break.
What makes a good commercial?
Well, the thing is, you've got to be convincing. That's what I think. And, you know, it doesn't matter how dodgy the product is. I believe if you sound convincing, you can sell anything. And my theory, well, I think we're going to try and prove this now, is that if you were to do the read for any product, it would sound appealing and sensible.
Oh, that's a lovely compliment. No, I'll certainly give it a try.
So I've been down to the advertising department. I said, give me all the products, all the ideas and concepts that are just too hard to shift, and I'll see if I can get Bert to make them sound appealing. So we've queued up a few, you know, bits of backing music from the KPM.
That's important too, isn't it?
The KPM music. Collection.
Yes.
Probably the same bits of music you've been using in the past.
Yes, for the last 50 years, I would imagine.
And we'll just try a few of these reads out. So let's get started.
There's never been a better time to visit East Timor.
Yeah, no, I don't know if that one's going to work. Let's try something else.
The team at Al-Qaeda are looking for enthusiastic young...
No, maybe. I think that's probably not going to work at all. Here's another product that... I don't know. See what you can do with this one.
Perhaps you've never stopped to consider the benefits of a really high pair of jeans. I mean tight, grey, Brian Maddox-style acid wash with an elastic waist and very little in the way of testicular headroom. Like the pair I'm wearing right now. New Maddox cut high-waisted, steel-belted tackle mashers from Not Quite Right. Now that's a poor cut of jeans.
I want some. Don't you, Richard?
Absolutely.
That sounds great. All right, let's see what out we can move. Come on, here we go.
There's never been a better time to plunge your head into a vat of steaming horse manure.
I want to do it now. That sounds great. All right, let's see. Okay, we've got some trickier concepts here. Here we go.
Why not leave a dead sheep carcass on your neighbour's porch? Now you can, and in record time, with GetGo overnight dead livestock deliveries. GetGo, the privilege is all ours. The stench and inconvenience is your problem.
See, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
I want to leave a dead sheep's carcass on my neighbour's porch right now. All right, let's go on holiday.
Come to a secluded paradise where time stands still, where you can sense the serenity, where the locals glow with pride. Come to Chernobyl.
I want to be there, don't you, Richard?
Absolutely.
This sounds great. You know, lots of controversial ideas can be made to sound good with the addition of a bit of Bert.
There's never been a better time to drive home in a state of adult intoxication. Why bother with burdensome drink driving laws when your own crazed, self-destructed logic is faster and more convenient? Remember, if you drink and drive, you're a bloody idiot. But you are home sooner, and it does save money on a cab.
There you go. Controversial idea. Possibly not a good idea. But it sounded great.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what this one is, Bert, but just take it away.
I'm invincible. I'm paying money. The girl's happy. She's got no money. I got my rocks off. Oh, how good is this?
I thought we were never going to have that again, Richard. How did that slip through the net? Now, Bert, I don't know what this is. This is something that the program director wanted me to get you to do. Here we go.
I like your pants around your feet. I like the dirt that's on your knees.
No, I think that's enough.
Oh, okay.
I think we've heard enough of that one. Let's get back to advertising concepts.
At last, there's a quick, no-fuss way to fling yourself from a moving vehicle. Hurtle headlong into harm's way and risk certain death, all for under $29.95. That's a $70 value for just $29.94. Call now and book your grisly demise. You know you want to.
Great! Well, I think there's just one more, so give it your best shot, Bert.
Songlines is the remarkable new album from Daryl Summers.
No, I'm sorry, Bert. There's some things that just nobody can make convincing.
Oh, well, I'd rather liked it, actually. He accompanies himself on the drums, too. Which is...
That's what I hear. We'll be back with more in a moment. That'll be the Fray Over My Head Brackets cable car here on Get This at Triple M, where Bert Newton is co-hosting this morning. Just talking about things going wrong on live TV. There's just not enough of that anymore, don't you think?
Well, there's no live TV as such, is there, I suppose, apart from the news.
Yeah, exactly, and there's very rarely somebody copying it in the nuts on the news anymore. You just don't see it. I was watching that thing the other night, 20 to 1, that you host, and they had the 20 most embarrassing things on TV, and I was going, surely, as they got closer to number one, I'm going, surely it's going to be the one with Bert and the yard glass drinking competition.
Oh, you're right.
I have to ask you about this, Bert. We went to Channel 9 to do what I always referred to as the ill-fated late show pilots in 1990, and I went down to the archives, funny little German bloke down there.
Walter Ritter.
And he just had everything, up on a shelf. He knew where everything was. And there didn't seem to be a lot of interest in his work at Channel 9 in the archiving. But I found this clip, and it was on the end of, it was an old news bulletin, and when you fast forward something too much and there's something else on the end?
Yeah.
And it was a clip which I was later told, when it went to air live, Kerry Packer called up and said every copy of that must be destroyed and it must never go to air again, and someone had obviously kept it.
And that was the drinking thing?
It was two blokes. Firstly, let's just talk about what the hell is that for a show?
Yeah.
Two blokes drinking yard glasses on TV.
Well, the producer had... I lost the show, by the way, as the result of that. That was on a Monday night. And that was the last show. I had my own IMT for quite some years. And
well, basically, the gentleman, one of the two blokes, threw up in quite a violent and projectile manner.
Yeah, and 2 points about that particular occasion that people don't know is that when he threw up, and it went on for ages,
it just was like a fire hose. And he tried to turn away from the camera, and it just sort of arced across the beautiful leather bookshelf at the back.
And what wasn't there, more than likely, was what happened on the night itself, because I threw to a commercial, and the commercial was on tape, and it was Rosemary Margin. So the bloke throws up all over the place and starts to apologise. I don't know what to say, so I throw to the commercial, and Rosemary says, "Life can be beautiful, and most important..."
You say you lost your job over that?
I was under contract, but I lost that show. The other thing that...
But how is that your fault? A bloke's thrown up.
Oh, well, bad taste, and I should have realised that it shouldn't have been done. But the bloke who threw up in the commercial break, while Rosemary is saying, something about a retirement village or something, he said, "Look," he said, "I'm really sorry about this." He said, "I was as right." He said, "I had a trial run at tea time." He said, "I got three bottles down," and I said, "You stupid fool! That's why you threw up."
But we used to show that bit of footage to the audience of The Late Show a minute before it went to air every week, and it just said we would have trouble topping that bit of footage for the following hour.
Yeah.
But what I used to slow the footage down and show people was the bloke it's the most volcanic vomit you've ever seen. But Bert just steps in and acts as if it's not going on.
That's right.
To the point where you almost think, maybe I didn't see that, because Bert's not reacting at all.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic bit of footage.
I was reacting, but the sort of reaction I was having wasn't showing.
Well, I then showed that bit of footage on the first episode of the Mick Molloy Show, the controversy started all over again, because the next, on the Monday, it was a festival of vomiting on Mick Molloy.
Yeah, disgraceful, disgraceful. But the poor bloke, that was his moment of fame in the whole thing, and I think the prize was something like, I don't know, $10 or something, so he's totally and utterly made up... total idiot of himself on national television. But then for him to say, "I'm sorry, it was right, it's rain of tea, I'm going to try the two or three bottles," and everything stayed down,
$10 of cold hard cash. That's more than we're offering at Talkback Mountain. There have been a lot of dodgy books about the history of Australian TV over the years, and you'll see them, in the bin at Coles for $6.99.
Very cheap.
This one's a beauty. 50 Years of Television in Australia, edited by Nick Place and Michael Roberts, and they've done their homework. They've gone through, and I'm having a look, Bert. Of course, your first appearance on TV, I assume, was The Late Show.
Yeah, it was, on Channel 7. Noel Ferrier had compared the show for the first couple of months.
Oh, I see.
And then he left.
Right.
And I was brought in as an announcer, and then... one Tuesday morning, I can recall my mum waking me at home and saying, "Oh, isn't it wonderful?" I said, "What? Isn't what wonderful?" She said, "You're doing the Late Show tonight." No one had told me.
Oh, really?
So I jumped up and started to prepare the ad libs.
Mum's calling in. There's you dressed as Frank Sinatra. And what?
Oh, yeah. Oh, dear me. The memories flood back. Yeah, lovely.
You've got a hat on.
Yes.
And what about this over here? Now, talk about controversy. Keep in mind, this is from, is this 1963? 1958. Look, I'm hoping, Bert, that enough years have gone by that you won't mind discussing this. It says that you have been involved, this is in 1958, you have been involved in scandalous gossip, talk of a love triangle between Bert, his regular Late Show guest and model of the year, Arlene Andrewotha, and Collingwood footballer Murray Weidman.
Yeah.
Or Weidman, sorry.
Yeah, well, as soon as that came out in the press, Murray was, in the old language, about 7 feet tall, and apart from being a wonderful footballer, captain of Collingwood, you'd know that because of your interest in the history of football.
I love Collingwood. Yeah.
And also knew how to look after himself, so I hid from him for about 2 or 3 weeks.
But in a AFL scantily clad model love triangle.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Wild. Yeah, the memories flood back once again.
I think we're going to get people to call in, although the program is almost over.
Some time.
Have we got time enough for this?
Not as the result of talking about that bloke throwing up, is it?
Probably is.
We've always got time for Bert.
Okay, we want people to call up and just ask anything to Bert Newton. Scandals, controversies, rumours from the world of television. Anything you want to talk about, Bert is available. He'll broach any subject, will you not, Bert?
Oh, indeed, and I'll give you $100 value for only $27.95.
Call now, 133353. That's Stuck in the Middle with You, Steeler's Wheel. That song actually written about Billy Connolly.
That's right. Jerry Rafferty and Joe Egan.
There you go. Important information. That's what this program's about, Bert.
I knew that.
Bert's sitting in with us for Talkback Mountain. The subject of today's climb is simply television, and Bert is here to offer expert comments on anything you want to talk about. Who's going first, Mr. Marsland?
Ian, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Great, go ahead. What's your question for Bert?
Bert, listen, my brother tells me this time, it was Good Morning Australia that you did?
Yes.
He watched, you had it was an Asian lady who was your cooking guru.
Yeah.
What was her name?
Elizabeth Chong.
Okay, Elizabeth made a bit of a crack about you being a round eye.
Oh, right? That's right, because, yeah.
And he tells me this, he said you kind of went and backed up a bit and said, that's hardly, all that. And then she got you to toss a salad, and he said it's one of the best off-the-cuff ad-libs that he'd ever heard. You said that you're one of the best round-eyed tossers in the business. And to this day, he kills himself laughing just thinking about it. And I just wanted to, do you remember that line?
Yeah, I certainly do. how's your brother going?
He's still watching the show, apparently.
Is he?
Yeah. Even though it's not on. That's
exactly.
Really sad.
He's got them all on tape.
Yeah. Actually, Elizabeth started off by saying that, she always wanted to have round eyes. And, I mean, in 2004 or whatever it was, it wasn't really the subject of the day.
Not PC.
But lovely lady. And we got out of it anyway. And that's everything.
That's one of his most favourite moments on telly. One other thing quickly, Bert, was the duet you sang with Graham on the Logies. Was one of the best bits of television I think I've ever seen. So I congratulate you. I love your work. I must admit, I am an ardent fan.
No, that's nice of you. I've got to say that doing that piece with Graham, it wasn't my idea, and I thought about it for a fair while because knowing Graham's tastes and Graham's attitude to a whole range of things, I wanted to make sure in my mind...
It was kosher.
That was kosher. And from a professional point of view, it's probably one of the most difficult things from a personal point of view, it was very difficult for emotional reasons, but because the tempo and the music was already on tape, established on the night that Graham and I originally did it, there was no room for error, because if I dropped a word or dropped a bar or whatever, the band couldn't help me because it was already taped, 30 years ago.
And what sort of technology are they using down there that they can get rid of your vocals from the original and still keep Graham's? How does that work?
Well, I do know, but I think it's just a little above you, Tony. Sorry about that.
Because we've just got a few ideas for the Nickelback songs. And if we could get whatever technology you're using, we could make very good use of it on this program. Thank you very much, Ian. Who's going next, Richard?
Let's say hello to... Okay, Patty. Hi, Patty. Are you there?
Hiya, Patty.
Hello there. How are you?
Are you a first-time caller, Patty?
I am a first-time caller, but I was just listening to
this
Bert
is the real
Newton,
Patty.
And to be honest with you, I was very interested in this love triangle that I've not heard about before.
Yeah.
And I was just going to ask him, are there any illegitimate children anywhere? Because Lauren's looking for an extra bridesmaid, so I thought, you never know, there might be one hanging around somewhere.
Well, there could be. Yeah, could be. Hey, listen, by the way, you've stepped up. Welcome to FM radio, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, this is the big time, isn't it?
It certainly is. The one thing about that love triangle, which I suppose it's open confession day
yes.
to day, yeah, it was Arlene Andrewartha and it was Murray Weedham and the Collingwood captain, but there's worse to come.
Oh, what?
It was me and Murray.
Oh, I hear the Natural Seven were involved.
Yes.
It was a love tetrahedron.
Well, you know, when I first started going out with Bert, I was the president of the old girls. That was Bert's old girlfriends. And I tell you what, there were many of them. I think I was the youngest, and I think I was one of the few that hadn't been married before. So
yeah.
There you go.
And also, I've got to point out, still the only one living.
So the reunion won't be happening.
Okay, well, look, it's sounding very nice, and I agree with that, you know, when you're talking about Bert doing the Graham tribute. I didn't think, actually, on the Logies there was enough made of that, because I think that was the highlight of the Logies. I thought that was a wonderful moment, and it probably will never be recaptured again, but for the time, it was just fabulous.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
I was very proud of him that night. But I'm dying to hear more about these love triangles and all the goss.
Well, let me tell you now, before I leave this morning, I'll confess again to you. Well, let me ring Amanda Vanstone first up and see if she's willing to talk about it.
Oh, that's a very disturbing triangle.
Goodbye, I'm going. See
Thanks,
you later.
Patty. Oh, we can't leave the listeners with that image. That's not a triangle, that's a rhombus. Have we got time for one more? I know we haven't, but let's just sneak one through.
Hello, Jason.
Hi.
Go ahead, what's your question for Bert?
I've got a follow-up story to the guy throwing up on TV in the early 70s.
Of course you have. Let's hear it.
The guy was actually at Young and Jackson celebrating the birth of his first boy and had been drinking for about 12 hours and was plucked out of Young and Jackson's and asked if he wanted to be on TV.
Is that true, that exact bloke?
Yeah, that's true. And my friend had actually heard all these stories about this footage that had never come to air, and a lot of his father's friends had told him how he'd thrown up on TV, and we'd never actually seen it.
And
we were sitting there watching the Mick Molloy show.
You were the one.
He came on and he said, "That's my dad."
Mm. Fantastic.
We finally got to see it after 30-odd years.
See, right. There's a beautiful, moving family moment that wasn't reported during the Mick Molloy show controversy. Someone benefited from that spew.
Yeah, and absolutely. Lovely for the grandchildren too.
So that's the story behind it, and that's why he was cut, and it's like a family heirloom now, that little bit of footage, and he finally got to see it.
Well, oh, that's lovely.
Well, I understand Kerry did demand that it be destroyed in much the way that he demanded that Doug Mulroy program be ripped
that's
off the
right.
air.
Yeah, exactly.
Just at the moment that a young child reached for a kangaroo's penis. That's what happened, Bert. I'm sorry. I remember that's exactly what happened. Is it time for us to go, Bert? Thanks for coming in and doing this.
Oh, thank you, Tony, and thank you, Richard. It's been a pleasure to be with you.
You wouldn't want to miss Bert's Family Feud. That's on a weeknight every weeknight on Channel 9 at 5:30, and I have a very argumentative, controversial family, Bert, and I've decided that Bert's Family Feud is really the way we're going to resolve all our deep-seated family issues. So can we come in and sort that out with you?
Certainly, and you'll be seen 5:30 across the eastern seaboard, with the exception of Brisbane, which is running it at 5 o'clock. So I think the city closes at 6.
Oh, it's great to hear some professionalism on the program. Thanks for coming in. Thanks to everyone who called up. Thank you, Patty. And I think our key phrase today was round-eyed tosser. And we'll be back tomorrow with comedian Craig Eagle. And it's all thanks to our good friend Mrs. Olivia Buckley of Cherry Brook.